Eli's too busy listening to fucking music. You can't unmute me.
Jamming out, bro.
Happy Monday.
Yeah.
I'm still, man, I'll go in the shower, and I just feel like, and I don't do it because I have enough self-awareness, and I'm embarrassed. I have a daughter. She'll probably hear me, but.
What's that?
I just feel like that last verse, you know?
I like that song.
Run. I'm like, I wonder if I could sing that last part just
yeah,
to.
I bet you could.
Because, man, the last song we had, I felt like I had a good intro for it.
You did. You did. You did.
But we might be switching to long cut.
We might.
That intro.
New intro song coming up.
They're awesome. Yep. We're going to chat. Well, he wants to make one. We're not that big of a deal. I just want to use one of their songs.
We should.
Long cut.
We should.
It's
we
a
should.
Great song. Great song.
Day $1 Zero podcast, guys. This is Real Talk episode 3.
Yep.
Following up part 2 from a couple weeks ago.
And we're just getting into this. This is just the third episode for it. So for those of you who are familiar, maybe unfamiliar with our typical podcast, Day $1 Zero, a lot of entrepreneur stuff, a lot of leadership stuff, just a lot of good stuff as far as our stories and other people's stories and what their Day $1 Zero look like. The real talk side is where we get specific to our industry. Obviously, being in real estate, there's a lot of realtor stuff, lending stuff, you know, that we cover, how to market yourself through social media. Just, again, staying in our lane, but just talking a lot about, okay, you know, what have we done that's gotten us to where we're at? We just got an award for being top 0.5% of the nation's production. So 2018, we were top 1%. This year, we were top 0.5%.
Congrats.
Awesome.
We're going to run out of percentages, bro.
Dude, we're as high as you can get. But again, even though that's awesome, this is where you have to be super careful, right? Because it's like, well, if you're going to give advice or if you're going to speak to things, it still has to be within the scope of where you've been successful, right? So there's still some things that we can't necessarily give you advice on or speak in depth to, nor would I want to. I'd rather speak to what works for us and just going over ideas. But obviously there's a lot to it. Mm-hmm. We could talk for days.
Well, and a big part of our listenership is our real estate agents, lenders. And this is where we did want to come out with some specific podcast where we're talking directly to you guys and bring our buddy Alex on, who's a digital marketer in the space as well. And just kind of chat about how Will and I build our business, you know, through word of mouth and referrals, but then leverage that using people like Alex.
Right. So today, this is going to be a part 2, mm-hmm. correct? The first part 1 was episode 2, but part 1, what was that again?
How to become the go-to trusted professional in your market.
I think it was how to become omnipresent.
No, we didn't use that because that was too fancy.
No, we mentioned it.
I love
the
that
Greek.
Word,
if Alex was a horse, it'd be like silky black with Fabio on it, all fancy and
it'd be
shit.
Be a Frisian for
I'd
sure.
be a Greek stallion for
There'd
sure.
There'd be a naked Fabio on that stallion. Yeah. Just a super fancy horse. Yeah. And it's like, hey, bro, we're not using that word. It's going to be
fair enough.
How to grow business.
Yeah.
No, I'm being funny. This is a part 2. We want to cover some of that stuff that we just did not have a chance to elaborate on.
Yeah, I think part 1, we were trying to focus on how to use digital and social to complement what you guys have done. And then just be seen everywhere.
Yep.
Right?
So, correct.
And today we're diving into, at least from the real estate side, the type of content you could be creating and the type of equipment and how easily you can create that content to get out there.
Yeah. Right. I think the biggest struggle people have is what you just said. They think it's a lot harder to put out content.
Well, it is.
Then it is. Well,
it's hard, but
everything can
be
hard.
Who you talking to? It is hard. Yeah. I do it every day. It is hard. It is hard.
Yeah.
Valuable content?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Simple. I'd say simple, but not easy. Like applies. Overall, it's simple.
Don't try in the middle. That's, you see him trying to be the jelly?
I mean, it's not like physically hard. You buy a $12 thing from Amazon. You buy this. You got a fucking camera right here. I mean, just being like microphones. Easy. Like it's the thing is simple, but executing over a long period of time, that can be hard.
I think it's easier than most people think.
Yeah,
I think
I'd agree.
Easier. I think the hard part is being consistent.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you said that because that was going to be my next.
I think the hard part is being consistent, and I agree with you.
Yep.
Consistency is everything.
Everyone has an idea for a video once.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be a great video.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. Well, what does that fall under, right? Like, whatever you're. Oh, we should talk about little things you could fix around your house to get your house ready to sell. Oh, that'd be a great video. Where does that go under? Oh, that goes under a listing. Like there's just bigger funnels to be looking at first before you dive into just a specific video. And we'll kind of get into this or I'll let you kind of segue it in. But we have what him and I call pillars of types of content, you know, and then within those we have like our subcategories of specific styles of videos. But the biggest thing I want to make clear is that it is everyone kind of has a video or a video idea, but doing one or two videos every single week and trying to figure out the content for that and being organized. You can't just kind of like going to the gym. Yeah. Yeah, you can go every day, but if you're just shooting from the hip and like, oh, what feels good today? If that's the same way that you're approaching your content and there's no direction to it, how are you measuring anything as far as the type of response mm-hmm. that you're getting? And the other hard part to it is you'd think like, okay, well, just plan it all out, map it all out. And I got it to an extent. But what's going on right now? Super low interest rates. Was that on your map a month ago? Nope. So you're just going to not speak to it because you got your 37 videos figured out for the year? So you're not going to speak to this because it's not inside and you can't figure out where it fits? So it's like, man, like you kind of have to do things in real time while planning the best that you can mm-hmm. because you do have to stay relevant. You can't just have a bunch of preloaded things and yeah. it's all old news by the time it comes out, or you're just mm-hmm. throwing those out, but it's not really relating to like what's going on right now. It's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to adjust as needed. You have to adjust. I agree with you. The market's completely changed for a mm-hmm. lot of people in a good way. Agreed. So if you didn't plan this out properly and you weren't going to be able to adjust, like you just said, you wouldn't be able to put out a good video that talks about the market.
Mm-hmm. And just building value. So yeah. for example, right? Let me say this appropriately. Instead of just being on social media, telling everybody that rates are low and come see me, explain what a low rate is. Not just math. Yeah, I get it. It's a lower interest rate. Okay, but what does that mean for you, right? And then dial into just the value of having a lower rate or what are the costs that go in behind that. But I'm just big on, I'm a big proponent on giving value.
The why behind, mm-hmm. yeah, whatever it is you're talking about.
And because not only just refis.
Yeah, and break it down.
Like you said, it's refi yeah. heavy right now, right? Like everybody in their fucking mom's refiing. Cool. Maybe it is good for you. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But for buyers, hey, does low interest, so refis, these are great. And there's a different approach to refis versus if you're buying right now, right? Mm-hmm. Like the appraisal, things are just different when you're buying the house versus I've already bought the house and I'm refiing. There are a mm-hmm. couple things different about that process mm-hmm. to just keep it simplistic. So what do low interest rates, I mean, what does that mean for buyers?
Yep. And you can do that with anything. Well, let's do this, man.
Let me say this because yeah. I thought you were going to answer. Yep. You didn't. You're just scooting forward. And I'm going to let you guys have the floor because I think I spoke a lot last time. So I'll kind of cover my topic here in a bit and then you guys are going to take the show. But for example, man, a lot of lenders are just talking refi right now. And that's okay. I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm not saying refis are bad. I'm not saying any of that. What I am saying is the rates have dropped. They're just they're throwing all their marketing and their talk to refis mm-hmm. and I feel like buyers just got left in the fucking dark.
Well, dude,
like people that are out buying right now, they're just, no one's talking to them or about them. And if you're looking at social media, it's normally like, oh, looking to buy or sell, or oh, yeah. hey, looking to buy. Like the refi these past couple weeks has gone so crazy, nobody gives a fuck about a buyer. And it's like, hold on a minute, what does being a buyer right now, like, does that affect me? Mm-hmm. Hey, does people's ability to refi affect me? Yeah, some people are gonna keep their fucking house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? Like, does low, super low interest rates affect inventory? Yes. Do we know how yet? It hasn't been around long enough. We're talking a 2-week span mm-hmm. right now of like actually like people talking about it big time, right? I don't think we've seen enough to see if it's going to affect the market, as in like all these homes that have started coming on the market, is it going to change? Mm-hmm. Are people going to be using them as rentals now? We don't know. The bottom line is getting lower rates in these refis, yes, it can affect inventory. Secondly, it can also bring a lot of buyers out. So what happens, mm-hmm. crazy question, if inventory decreases because people can refi and mm-hmm. they're happy with their home, they're going to save $600 a month.
They can remodel.
They can remodel, right? They're going to save some money every month. They're going to remodel. They put the brakes on selling. But then low interest rates also bring buyers out of the woodwork. Mm-hmm. What does that remind you of? Fucking year and a half ago.
Yep, I was going to say 2 years
nothing,
ago.
Yep. No inventory. Yeah, and all these buyers fighting over homes, throwing crazy appraisal gaps at it.
So, Will, when something like that happens, is the new construction market a market that's going to get hot now again?
I hope so. I think overall, here's what the new build market did for itself. It reminds me of the car industry, right? Like nowadays to get leather seats and a CD player, you don't have to spend $55,000, mm-hmm. right? Like a lot of that stuff is like like Kia. There's a lot of car companies that are like, yeah, you get leather, you get navigation in our basic
cam,
models,
all that stuff.
In our base models. Yeah, you're not paying what you probably are, but you're not paying extra per se.
You're not paying a premium anymore.
Correct. Right. So great. Yes, exactly. So when we're looking at some of the new build stuff that we've seen, you still have super pricey homes and all that elaborate stuff, but they're getting really competitive as far as like, man, there's some that are in the threes. And of course, like the square footage is smaller and they're not doing quite everything, but their price point has come down a lot. They still have great updates to the home. It looks great. Like, I think the new build, it's not so much people gravitating toward like new builds. It's new builds understanding how to gravitate toward people.
Yeah.
And just be a great option for them where it's not just your upper middle class, like people buying. For a while, it was like 650 plus to have a decent one, right? And like, oh no, some of those started in the Ford's wheel. Shut the fuck up, because you go to that little showroom over there because they don't even, they don't give you a floors or carpet or backsplash or windows. And apparently you don't need windows in the base model. I'm obviously exaggerating, but what came with the base model and what you had to go get at the shop, dude, they were 600, man.
Yeah.
So I think they're just a little bit more accommodating to the masses. Yeah. But man, such a great question, because that could be a great option for you. So if interest rates are dropping, so people are holding on to their homes and refining and saving money, but you have all these buyers coming out and everyone's competing over homes, could you go to where there's more inventory with new builds? There isn't competition there. If one's not built right now, they will build it and you can still lock in your rate. That's a whole other podcast. I'll leave it there. But man, such a great point we could speak on.
Yeah, I want to ask one more question for you guys, because there's an audience that's listening. So with rates dropping for buyers, shouldn't all buyers get pre-approved again now?
Absolutely.
Because isn't there now price point going to increase
by 20 to 40 grand?
Yeah.
Yeah. You get a good reduction in your interest rate, bro.
Because rates have been...
Alex, did you used to be a lender?
I did.
Are you sandbagging over? Look at him showing off.
16 plus years.
Oh, man.
No, but listen, right now the market has adjusted, I think, in the last 2 weeks. It's been a refi market for about a month now. An aggressive refi market. But the rates have dropped in the last 2 weeks to historic lows, and they're suggesting that they're going to keep dropping going into the end of March, going into April. So I just think good advice for everybody listening, for your audience, because you guys are on the real estate side, is everybody get your pre-approvals.
Yeah.
Get the numbers just redone for today's market, because rates right now between...
Yeah. And don't wait. If you think, I'll wait because then I can get a lower rate. Listen to me. If you lock in your rate and the rate goes down...
They'll float it down.
Won't go higher if you're locked in.
Yeah, so that's actually great advice. I would suggest everybody locks in their rate now, but make sure the lender has a free float down policy.
Okay. And there's still some snow going on. Like, we're getting buyers out there, not as much as we will in the spring. Like, this is just something to plan for. And if you're thinking about like, man, what are my options? I've got to sell. I want to buy. Or at least whether it's us or someone else that's just locked on, it does well in the industry. Taking a look at this, if you're even thinking about anything this year, taking a look to just see, hey, what is this battlefield look like for me personally, especially if you have a sell by, what that looks like is selling something on the market, having to go contingent, non-contingent, a lot of stuff there, but just seeing what this looks like for you specifically while we've got this momentum, it's worth taking a look at.
100%. Awesome.
With that being said,
touching back on videos real quick, what I want to do was just name kind of two things that people could pick up to make their videos 10 times better. And then Will, I want to chat a little bit about how we first started doing video together. Because as our business has evolved, our videos have evolved, and our goals are a little bit different than they were before. But we're just going to assume that people have not seriously dove into video. So I think kind of given our background of how we started, I think would be a good place. So,
well, you don't have to assume. I don't see much video.
Exactly.
And the video that I do see...
You don't see much videos, what, from other agents? Or other?
No. So as far as equipment, guys, real quick, get on Amazon. Like, your phone camera does a phenomenal job. That's plenty good. But a camera or a microphone and lighting is super critical, and both really, really cheap. So a $12 lav mic, you can get one that's cabled, that hooks right up into your phone, has a big old long cable on it, and it, you just clip it on here. $12.
So it's a lapel.
Sounds amazing. It's a lapel mic.
Yep.
That, and then I'm a big fan of like those ring lights, and you can get on Amazon, there's like a ring light tripod combo where your phone kind of sits inside the light. It just gives a good lighting on your face. And that's maybe $20. So you're looking at less than $40 for good lighting, good sound. Your camera on your phone works great. That's done. But the last thing you want is being an echoey house where you can hear the audio booming around, or it's just dark, shitty lighting. You want videos like, your content is number one, but if it sounds bad, I'm not listening at all. You're not getting the fucking 10 seconds from me.
Well, I mean, so what's what's content? What do you mean?
Let's talk about that.
Well, he just wanted to give some technical, like,
no,
tricks.
I mean, but like content, like what's my content? Is you echoing not a part of your content?
There you go.
I mean, you are your content, right?
That's true,
it's
too.
It's not just your verbal. This is where people have to just really understand, like, the ambiance, right? Or just the atmospherics of what you're putting together.
It all matters.
Is your lighting a part of your content?
Is your
sound a part of
your
content?
It's a product. It's a product.
All
of
it in addition to what you're trying to say.
Yeah. Right?
All of it needs to come together, because what you're trying to do, especially with video, is everything possible. Noise, things that you want to say, how clear and concise you say them, even chronological. Like, hey, am I bouncing back and forth, or am I chronologically going through something? Like, all of those things matter. That's all of your content packaged up into a video. But I think it's huge. I think, one, be yourself, right? Like, you've definitely got to just, like, we talk sometimes. We talk about scripts, and I'm always joking. I'm like, well, I'm not joking. I'm joking, but I'm not. I'm like, fuck a script. I don't do them. And I don't do them because I'm unscripted. Not because I'm entitled to think that I rate to be unscripted. The way my brain works is very in theory. As in, I'm not speaking on something unless I know what the fuck I'm talking about. If I know what I'm talking about, I don't need a script, but I do need direction of what am I trying to say, right? So I actually am all for scripts. It's just how we use them. So Eli and I will... we'll just get to the whiteboard and we'll talk about, like, hey, what are we, you know, hey, what are we talking about in this video? And we'll write that down. We'll go, like, what's important here? You know, we'll cover what's important. And then we'll go over, like, hey, what are the, out of everything that was important that we talked about, what are going to be, like, the, man, like, the top two takeaways? Like, if there's anything you take away from this video, what? What I am allowing to do is going, hey, man, you're in this every day. Not everyone is. If you just go fly off on the video and ramble like I do sometimes on this, and it's not long form content, what's the likelihood of somebody understanding and taking anything away from it? So it's sometimes you have to not dumb yourself down, but sometimes you just have to hit the brakes a bit, organize your thought. So my script is an outline of, like, just that topic, discussion points, and takeaways. But because I do speak freely, and because my brain, it's not that I can't read, I read phenomenally well, I'm not going to read while I'm on camera.
You like bullet points.
I do, man, because I just want to be able to elaborate. There's going to be things that hit me that I feel a certain way and I want to elaborate. And I think that's my version of communicating best. I also think I'm a people person. I've been on stage in the Marine Corps for the entire 1st Marine Division instructing. Like, there you do elaborate. You do have questions there. When you're talking battlefields or you're talking war, like, there isn't a black and white answer. Some things need explanation. You're talking, you know, a lot of just theory. Like, it goes beyond just here's how to use a rifle. It goes into theory of, like, that battlefield, right? So it's not just black and white.
Yeah.
But that's my pedigree. So for me, if I'm speaking on something, I tend to elaborate, give analogies, compare things, to do all I can to get you to resonate with what I'm trying to teach.
Yep.
That's me. If I go read, it takes every quality of me minus reading out of it.
Well, and if you're writing that script out, there's points that you may miss because you're not in the moment.
True. And right. But writing that outline, it at least gives me direction, because when you're thinking thoughts, when you're thinking thoughts, too wordy. When you're thinking, you can go down a rabbit hole real quick. Like, you ever be, you know, and then you're like, wait, what am I, especially on your video. For some reason, when people get a video camera in front of them or their phone, they're just like,
they're afraid to stop talking.
And it's like, so why did I keep elaborating on that appraisal guide? This is not an appraisal video. Like, okay. That's where an outline does work for you. The reason why I'm saying these things is not to say don't use a script. It's not what I'm saying at all. I do want to shed light on the fact that it's not mandatory. You have to figure out, how well do you express thought? How well do you translate information best? Does that make sense?
Yeah. And Alex, your videos are a lot more technical. You may go out and script. And how does that work for you when you're on your video?
I have a script I follow.
Okay.
And I'm big with bullet points as well. So I have an exercise that was taught to me by a good friend of mine, Roberto Monaco. He was actually a public speaking coach. And he taught me this format to use every time I do videos and every time I do webinars. And I use this still today.
What's that?
So basically, it's five parts. So you have an opening. And that's going to be the title, right?
Five paragraph order.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got your opening, which is the title, what are you going to talk about? The pre-frame is you're telling them what you're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. The body is basically going to be about three bullet points. The pre-close is just a recap of what you told them. And then the close is typically a call to action or next
perfect
step.
Perfect. Yep.
Right?
And yep. I promise anyone listening or that will listen when this is uploaded, we didn't like script that just now.
Nah,
like a lot of what you said, very similar to like how I do it. Mm-hmm. So you're speaking from like a, from a, what a coach taught something. I'm talking from like five paragraph order stuff from the Marine Corps. I'm also talking about like when I was a presenter, how we chose to present the class in the Marine Corps. And I bet whatever theory, like whatever derived prior to your coach teaching you that, wherever he got it from, who got it from, and wherever it came from on the military side, there's probably some type of format that knows humans are only going to retain so much. Right. And then there's also just a way to organize it and then review before you have a conclusion. A lot of it's very similar.
Yeah. They say the power of threes.
And that's a script. Yeah. You call that a script?
Yeah. No, so
that's
like the outline. It's an outline. Yeah.
Okay.
So video format.
We call scripts in our world. And I just want to make sure we have context for this podcast. We call scripts in our world this shit.
That's what it is.
A fucking paragraph. Yep,
that's what it is.
Oh, you read?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the general format that we're going
for. That's the format. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So when I do videos, I batch my videos. Mm-hmm.
Tell people what that means. They don't know what that means.
So batching means, first of all, you have to plan the day you're going to shoot your video. Mm-hmm. A lot of people forget that.
Time block.
You got a time block and plan it. And then before you shoot your video, you got to have your outline in place. Mm-hmm. And since I'm going to shoot videos, I might as well batch and do four of them at one time or six at one time or eight at one time so I could build an arsenal or an asset library of videos. Mm-hmm. And then I use the outline method. I'll take my one piece of paper and I'll write on top what that type is going to be I'm going to talk about. I'll have an outline. I'll do a pre-frame, a body, three bullet points, a pre-close and a close. I'll be done with that. I'll do the next one and then I'm done. And then I put it away. And then when it's time for me to shoot, I take my paper and I go take them with me wherever I shoot. And I just have bullet points. Mm-hmm. I don't memorize. It's not a script. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm not reading off a teleprompter. But it works for me. Right? Everybody's a little bit different. What you do works for you. What you do works for you. So everybody has to come up with something that can work for them. But I think having an outline and some bullet points is a fantastic idea.
Just having some framework. And I think I also want to break this down simplistically too, since we're talking to probably just lenders and realtors. Very similar as far as how you guys could approach your social media, right? So as far as batching videos, all for it, right? So if we were to talk about like, hey, Will, what kind of content? And you keep talking about putting out value and, okay, we're batching videos, but like what? Well, one of ours is the buyer's process, right? Mm-hmm. We go from meeting the buyer, pre-approval versus pre-qualification, looking at homes online, looking at homes in person, what's your role there, submitting an offer, what is an offer, how to submit an offer, are you married to that house if they accept your offer, what tools can you put into an offer to accentuate your offer, under contract, inspection, inspection objection, inspection resolution, final walkthroughs, closing.
Those are all videos right there.
They are.
So that's what we do. Now, if you understand all those processes, you go, understand. Those are all separate 3 to 4 minute videos that you could batch.
Yep.
Where I do think it's fun to not batch and just kind of be in the moment is if there are things as far as like this interest rate stuff that needs to be spoken about. If you're out in the field and you're in a new build community, and it hasn't been touched much or you haven't touched it before and you want to give some value as far as, hey, what are they building over here? What's the average square footage? What's unique to that builder? What areas are they in? What areas are they going to be going in if they're not there already? Just out in the field, almost like an anchor, like on the news, like just get out there and start building some value and start shedding light on different areas and different communities that people might be interested in, right? Like I'm big on that because I don't think Denver Metro is so big where you need a backyard. Like, I help people in Sierra Ridge. Fuck off. I don't like that.
And Will says backyard, he means farm. Like, you know, for people who are like farming specific
areas.
But
I think the biggest thing when we talk about, you know, like, well, how do you guys create content? Yeah. What is content? We don't get fancy, right? We're not trying to create anything. We're just documenting. Documenting what? Well, just documenting what we're doing. We do buyer processes. We do listing processes, right? We look at market. We look at areas. We look at what's coming. We look at what's going on. And then we're just documenting and building value. Like, I don't need to tell, main thing, right? I don't need to tell you I'm a realtor. I just don't. Everyone on my social media, for the most part, already knows that. And they're not going to work with me because I'm a realtor. They're going to work with me because at some point, somewhere, in some fashion, I built them value. I felt trustworthy. I felt like I was they felt like I was consistent, that I work hard. Okay, so how can I build those values through social media? Well, I can talk to you about the market. I can talk to you about, hey, what do we think about this interest rate thing? We can go over the buyer process, the listing process. We can talk about a ton of different things and give you, hey, whether you're working with us or not, here's what to expect when you're a buyer, especially right now. Or, hey, here's three takeaways. If you're going to have to sell a home before you buy another one, can you go under contract on a new one while you're still selling your original home? Yes. What does that look like? What's a bridge loan?
You know what those sound like to me?
What are contingencies?
Those sound like frequently asked question videos.
Yeah.
Great FAQ way to put videos. It. That's another trick. That's an easy way for people to get into
videos.
Well,
it's not a trick.
Yeah, but
a lot of people that aren't doing videos, you got to trick themselves.
Oh, I see what
you're saying. You know, like just, I don't know.
I thought you meant like trick, like we're going to trick people into like watching your bullshit. A clickbait.
Well, most people struggle with outdoing videos is the technical part and the content part.
Here's one of the, I think something we should address right now is that when Will and I first started, some of our best performing videos, pretty much all of them, were not real estate related. Uh-oh. Him and I were new dads at the time. We've always been into fitness. Our highest engaging videos were always about being dads, how we're staying in shape after being dads, weightlifting, what supplements we take and stuff. And then
we just can't get the bro away from
us. Well, like
man.
Will said, here's what Will said. People already know we're agents. So we were creating content that people wanted to watch. They're starting to like our personalities and just see that, hey, these are just two guys that are doing their best and they're teaching us what they're learning and they're putting their stuff out there. They know we're realtors.
People just want to work with who they feel they know and they can trust, right? And in addition to that, when we would talk
and they
about...
And they like.
They at least would think that they would like. And that's the other thing that's great about videos when you're on there. People get a little bit more of a sense of who you are. They can see your demeanor. They can see how you talk. They can hear your jokes and whether they think you're funny or you're a smart ass or you know, whatever it may be. But they can. It's just one more layer that people can get a good feel. And Eli and I get all the time when our phones ring, we have a referral or somebody's calling us or hitting us up on Facebook asking for some help. We call them up. Several times we've heard, I feel like I already know you guys. Dude, I get people say so much bullshit to me. I've never met them, but they got a muscle head joke. Or they got like a Marine joke or something. And hey, it's all good because it's not being disrespectful. If you come at me disrespectful, different story, right? Like we have a story about that we're not even going to get into. But if you say things in a hurtful manner, different. But if you're being lighthearted,
they feel like they're our friends.
Exactly. They feel like, dude, that's what's so great about videos. It's captivating, right? But the biggest thing with that is even when we were talking, hey, what's working? And I guess the synopsis of those videos once a week when Eli and I started doing those, it was every Friday, once a week. That's what we can handle. So that was fine. Do it. Be consistent. But it was, hey, what's working and not working in business? How's fatherhood going? Because we were both having little boys at the same time, 6 months apart. What's working and not working with that? How does being a dad help in business? How does owning a business help with being patient or being a dad once you get home, right? Like a big one I had was, hey, if I'm getting impatient with my daughter over her math homework after trying to help her for 5 minutes, but I'll let someone call me 14 times and explain a contract to them 19 times and have that much patience for a client, but you can't give your daughter the same? Interesting. But we just talked about that. Like, hey, how does all this kind of weave together and what does that look like? And yes, there was seeds in those videos that we were realtors, but we were using examples from work and how that hurts or helps home and then vice versa. But I wasn't sitting there asking you to buy a house. I wasn't sitting there asking you to sell with me. We were just literally going through, man, just reviewing, just like an after-action report of our week.
Yeah.
And just kind of going through the strengths of those. And, it was that consistent for a year every single Friday was huge for us. Mm-hmm. It was huge for us. It really set us up for success.
Where was those videos? Did you put them on Instagram and Facebook?
All of it. Yeah, primarily
personal
Facebook.
Personal stuff.
Primarily Facebook. Yeah. And something that I want to also make known is I know we're on a podcast right now, and this is long form, and we're on – this is episode 3 – for Real Talk, but we're episode 50-something for our original podcast, and that's still going. We're going to start inviting some more guests on, but that's significantly different. I will say, if you can just capture something once a week and get better on video, speak better, act better, organize your thoughts, be consistent, that will flourish maybe into several videos, maybe into a different category of a video, maybe into a podcast, right? But everything kind of like... it just gradually increased. Like we couldn't, if we weren't organized once a week to have a video there, no way in hell could we be organized in thought and deliberate with 50-something episodes of a podcast and counting, right? So I do think you kind of have to graduate into more. So people that are curious about a podcast or curious about different things with that, or I want a video production guy to like follow me around. If you can't conquer just getting one of your own videos out once a week, you're not ready for that next step. And I'll tell you, even when you get to the next step, you got a guy following you around once a month for a video or twice a week, or, oh, you're going to do a podcast, you're doing a podcast, here's the deal. Everyone is still going to want to see your personal cell phone video. Sometimes that rate's like, for example, with clients, sometimes a text message is okay in a form of a communication. Sometimes a phone call is needed. Sometimes an email is okay. Sometimes in person is needed.
Yep.
Right? Like if you got 16 offers on someone's home, you're going to do that by the phone? No. You're going to Skype them? No, you're going to sit down. You're going to figure out a way to organize all these offers, have them organized, have them labeled so we can tell the difference. And you're going to have to go through those. You have to sit down and do a good job. Same thing with video content. No matter how big of a deal you get, you and I are in New York. We're talking, right? Cool. We're a big deal. Nope. No, you're never. Because the bigger deal you are, like, for example, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, that's about as big as you get. However, when he's on Instagram with his phone, having his daughter talk, because she's a couple years old now, she's talking, and he's making his daughter say, "Daddy's best," and she keeps going, "No, wait, Mommy." And he's like, "No, no, no, not Mommy. Daddy, Daddy's the best. Like, listen to me. It's intimate. It's fun. It's lighthearted.
Yeah. Behind
it's
the personal. Scenes. Yeah.
You got to understand, depending on the type of content that you're doing, if it's a little bit more personal to you, or if you're, you know, it's still, you're still going to have to go back and use your cell phone for content. You and I still do that to this day, no matter where we're at for a podcast, no matter where we're public speaking, no matter how many people have followed us around with a video camera, we still have to learn and polish the craft of intimate setting, cell phone stuff. Now, if you don't have enough money for professional cameras, you can still use your phone in a very personal, intimate way. And then you can set it up on a tripod with that halo light, and you can be very professional. Yep. So it's not so much about whether it's phone or not phone. It's just the form of video that we're talking about. And does the form of video you're doing match the content that you're trying to speak or shed light on? Does that make sense?
That's what I actually did today. This morning, I actually recorded a video in my home office with my cell phone.
Baller.
So it was a raw video, wasn't edited, nothing fancy. But I got the message across. I had an opportunity to deliver a message that I believe needed to be delivered, and I didn't have time to get my videographer to come in. I didn't have time to get all polished up. I just did it raw in the basement.
It's just honest, too. Like, you ever...
You know what else I want to mention real quick? Because you made a comment, and it was really cool because you taught me this. You know what else you get out of doing videos like this?
Oh, we're live, Gio.
That's okay.
You know what he's going to say right now. You taught me this. Oh, shit.
Guess what else you get? You get to document the whole thing. You get to document. How cool is it to be able to document your journey from the beginning stages? Let's say you're listening here, you've never done videos, which is cool because everybody starts off never doing videos, right? Everybody starts off with zero video experience. Your 10th video is going to be pretty bad. Your 20th video is going to be better than your 10th video, and it just grows from there. But then you get to document it, right? Remember what you told me?
Remember, you
called me out? And you made me do what I was like, what do you want me to do? You want me to delete my Instagram account?
That little thing.
So I did it. I followed your lead. I want to lead by example. I'm a digital marketer, right? So I deleted my Instagram account. But now I look at it, the posts are really for me. I could document.
But here's the deal, man. If something's for you, if you have a message that's important enough to give to yourself, I bet it's valuable to everybody else listening. That's how I feel about it.
Or at least somebody.
Right?
At least somebody out there.
Oh, man, 100%.
So it's a different perspective.
100%.
Thanks again for teaching me that one. That was a good one.
Well, and here's what, the whole reason I said that was like, that's what I did. When I first started real estate, man, I literally had no Instagram. I was running that fitness company's Instagram. It was mine. I was on it all the fucking time. My photos were on it. Everyone's photos were on it. I was running it. Cool. Well, co-running it. We all kind of ran it. But when I started, I was like, man, I'm vulnerable right now. I don't want to be a tough guy. I don't want to like wait till I'm successful to do a video and then go back and talk about it. Like, imagine if I was doing video right now and I'd go tell you about the last 2.5 years. It's not as good as you see in my monkey ass in front of my M3 on a Friday night with my stupid Lyft sticker in the windshield talking about, look, here's where I'm at. Ground zero, I'm studying for real estate. I study all day. At night, I go drive Lyft to put food on the table for my daughter. That's the dignity I have right now, is I need to do that to feel valuable.
No shame. Right?
But
no.
Dude, those were my first videos. They're still there to this day. Those are my first videos.
Fun fact for everyone listening, that's the day $1.00 started right there.
Most people don't know that.
That post.
Yeah, so it was literal. Day $1.00 was, this is my day one and $0 of fucking real estate. Mm-hmm. I'm at day one, $0. But so you go back on my Instagram, you see it, and it's on purpose. It's also for me. Right. Yep. And I also strategically saw the future and saw motherfuckers telling me that they're going to be scared of video or scared of this or scared of that. And I can go back and go, look, everything I've accomplished in my life. You think I like driving Lyft? You think I like sitting there telling you I'm about to start a new business I've never done before? And stay tuned. Yeah. No, man, it's super uncomfortable, but it's honest.
That's
right?
Awesome, man.
No. And it keeps me accountable too, because there's a lot of people that are always like, oh yeah, stay tuned. Do we ever remember to go check on these fuckers six months later? No. Dude, I didn't want to be that guy. So I knew like if I put it out there and I'm talking about it, man, my word means something to me, right? So accomplishing something from what I was starting was super important to me. So it worked, man. And
that's awesome.
Couple last points I want to hit on.
A
big point I want to hit on prior, and then I want to find out how to scale all this with you.
Yeah.
Is consistency. And what I really want to stress here, guys, is that when Will was talking about just doing one video earlier and thinking that's going to do it for you, here's the thing. You cannot expect your friends, family, your Facebook sphere, you can't expect those people to be thinking about you all the time, anytime their friend mentions that they're thinking about buying a home. Unless you are consistent over a long period of time, you're not going to be fresh in your client's head. Even if you think you have a good relationship with them, if they haven't seen you recently, you're just not top of mind.
Even further.
That important.
No. Uh-uh. You're just not. And just the process isn't that important until it's important for someone.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's just not, right? Mm-hmm. But being in front of and we've had people not like a video or watch a video, but mention our videos and shows us. And I'm like, wait a minute. You mention our videos. Oh, you said, well, we're so, right? Like, oh, I don't see your videos. You guys are so busy. Heard that more than one person. I'll go back and look. Like, what fucking video did you see?
Mm-hmm.
What video did you like? You ain't like none of these fucking videos. Guess what? And then I go, oh, when I'm hanging out, doing nothing, scrolling social media, do I take time to like every video? No. Neither do they. Don't take it personal. But they're watching. And even more so, man, even as popular as you and I sometimes think we're getting, we're still someone's second and third choice in real estate.
Oh, yeah.
We got clients right now that chose someone else first and it wasn't working. And then they know us through someone who knows us, and then they try someone else anyway, and then they're getting to us on the third round.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's not always just about top of mind. But when you get a referral, when someone says, hey, mom, I know that guy's garbage, try my boys or whatever, then they still go somewhere else or come off the market for a bit or whatever, and then they kind of come back and trickle to us. Mm-hmm. Here's the deal. Even though it's indirect, when they do trickle, if they can go to your page and see that much content and binge watch you or just look and see how consistent you are, whether they're watching you every week, whether they're watching you every day, or whether they have no idea who you are and they find your social media because you got referred, you're referring to, okay, let me look this guy up. If somebody refers me, yeah, bro, I got the best wheel and tire guy. His name's Jimmy. Check him out. Jimmy who? Are these fucking stolen rims? What is this? Like, what's his shot? But I'm going to go to his business page. I'm going to go to his Facebook page. I'm going to see.
Yeah.
Try to just find out human instinct, right? Hey, what's this guy all about? So I promise you, whether it's your close sphere, right, that just talks to you and likes your stuff and they see your videos all the time, every day you're doing something, they're seeing it. It could also be people that have no idea who you are quite yet that get referred to you through someone and they look you up and now they've got 2 years of content to go back on and just see how consistent and legitimate you are. It solidifies that person's referral, right? Yep. Because just because someone refers you, it's not a done deal yet. We all know that. They're open-minded to you. Oh, yeah, cool, I'll hit him up. It's not done. If they can see your content and then when they meet you, if you seem like you're doing the right things, you seem legit, then you're getting pretty darn close. Mm-hmm. So again, it's not just the real-time content. It's for people that you don't even know yet to have the ability to go back.
I want to comment on what you said, though. Yeah. So a KPI stands for key performance indicator, that a lot of people are unaware of, that doesn't mean anything, is likes, right? You don't do videos to get likes. Mm-hmm. 95% of people that watch videos don't comment or like.
Is that a real stat?
That's a real stat. 95% of people that look at posts or watch videos do not like or comment on the post.
You know why? Because everyone's on the shitter and they don't want to touch their phones. They're just sitting there watching it.
Yeah. Well, and like you say, you just don't think about it sometimes.
And you're just not.
Yeah. But that's not what we're going after. You're not going after the likes and comments and the tags and the shares. Those are great if you get them, but you don't need them. What you want is just the data. And I just want to chime on this because a lot of people don't understand the inner game.
You want the data if you know what to do with it.
You definitely have to know what to do with it, but let's just start with the bare basics here. What you're paying for when you advertise on Facebook or Instagram mm-hmm. is just impressions. Mm-hmm. That's it.
So this means, guys, if you do a video and you're going to boost that video or run that video as an advertisement, that's what you're speaking to.
As you should, because you're going to pay the least amount of money when you do a video for the most amount of data.
For impressions, you said.
Just if everybody could just remember this, and it'll hit later, I hope. But you want to spend the least amount of money. We're talking digital marketing right now. This is my space. Mm-hmm. This is where I have fun, mm-hmm. right? You want to spend the least amount of money for the most amount of data. How to do that? Videos. You get video views now for a penny on average or less, mm-hmm. which means you can get a lot of data for very little money. Mm-hmm. That data now, going to back what you said, if you know what to do with it, is you can retarget based on how long people watch a video for. So we don't really care about anybody that watches a video for under 10 seconds. Because you guys remember, we said this before, the average video view on Facebook is 1.8 seconds.
Right? So even 9 seconds is crushing.
10 seconds is
that's the mark you're going to.
Five times the average, right? Yeah. So we want 10 seconds or more video views, which means then you can retarget that data. Now Facebook looks at that data as a warmed audience, and it's much cheaper, much better cost per clicks, much more click-through rates, CTRs, which is all Facebook mm-hmm. cares about. So not only is videos great because it gets you out there, it builds a documented story of your journey, but now you get to see who's watching your videos and then you can retarget them. So as a realtor, you could retarget people that watch 10 seconds or more of your video and put your listings in front of them.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
As a mortgage professional, you can retarget all your past clients or people that watch your FAQ videos mm-hmm. and then put your new loan programs, or right now with the refi boom happening the way it is, put these kind of advertisements in front of those people.
Just make sure that the content you're putting out there is valuable. It can't just be mm-hmm. the hook.
It has to be relevant to your audience and it has to be valuable.
Because people aren't going to watch otherwise.
Yeah.
But did that make sense what I was saying?
Yeah, definitely.
No, okay. Absolutely. No, I mean, no. I'm,
shut up. Yes,
I was fucking young. No, you guys are way too smart for me.
Shut up. Will no, face I'm serious, being dumb, by the way.
No, that's not true. That's not true. That is stuff true. Is not as simple as people think. If you're on your personal page, if you're interacting with people, if you're liking and you're commenting and you're supporting others, and you comment on someone like, "Hey, congratulations, happy birthday," or "Oh man, saw you run your 5K, that's killer," you know, or whatever on their photo, and they respond back, "Thanks for the support." The algorithm is recognizing that you guys are interacting
yep.
on social, you know, on the Facebook platform. If you also send them a message, "Hey, saw your 5K. That's super cool. Like, how many have you done?" And they respond back into Instant Messenger.
Yeah.
The algorithm now recognizes the people that you're having conversations with in Messenger mm-hmm. alongside of like in the actual app.
Yeah.
And those people are going to start seeing what you're doing in their newsfeed because
versa.
Facebook mm-hmm. wants to enhance friendships and real relationships, which means not just emojis, but if you're having conversations, if you're commenting, if you're asking questions on people's comments and you're liking their stuff and you're involved with what people are doing. So here's the kicker though. Involved with what other people are doing. You give a fuck about what people are doing. Mm-hmm. You mm-hmm. care about what's going on. And you're interacting.
You mean I can't outsource caring about somebody?
You can't.
Damn, there's no VA that can care about people for me?
That would be such a good married joke for that. Like if you can outsource the care for you. Fuck that. Monday. Yeah. It's Monday. We're not doing that. But what I'm getting at is it's think of it like a manual transmission. Right, you got to go through each gear. If you're not spending money with a guy like Alex, or if you're not in a place where you even have a business page yet, or you do but you have no clue and you need more help from Alex on how to understand that, got it. If you're at the place where, hey, but I understand my personal page, what can I be doing there? The content we spoke about today, that can go on your personal page. You liking people's stuff in your newsfeed, you commenting on it, and just not on everyone's, just people you actually think, oh, that was interesting. When you have that thought, oh, that was cool. When you have that thought, get into that comment on that photo and then say something, interact. Mm. If you haven't reached out to someone in a while, get in Facebook Messenger and send them a message and actually care. None of it has anything to do with real estate. It has everything to do with you interacting with your social community because you actually give a shit. Now, that algorithm is going to recognize those responses and those communications. Then those people are going to start seeing your stuff. We get a couple hundred views. That's not a lot. Our podcast, when it hits social media, it used to get 1,200 views. Facebook has slowed down. Maybe it's different. We're getting 200-300 views. Hey, that's okay. Because my phone rings. Mm-hmm. People see it. So the depth of the people that see it are taking us serious. The depth of the people that interact with us take us serious, mm-hmm. value our content, value our service. I don't need 10,000 views on my personal page. Because these people know me. They see me on social media. That's going to be more warm in your world, right? They know who the heck I am. The amount of people within that 200 that take us serious, phenomenal. People call us, right? If we're doing actual advertisement, which is probably just its own podcast and then some, of how you got to actually market video to a cold audience that makes them a warm audience that gets something to conversion. Hey, respect, because that's a completely different process than when I'm saying, hey guys, your people that already kind of know you or have a good feel for who you are on your personal page. Here's how I've had some great conversion interacting with them and allowing them to see our content.
Yeah.
But again, don't get these two twisted. They're completely different. 10,000 views is going to matter to you. So when I say, hey, look guys, I don't need 10,000 views. I'm talking about my personal page where I have depth. In your world, no, we do need some views. We can't just be putting a bunch of money into something and you're getting 200 views of cold strangers. Like, that's not how that works, correct?
Yeah, your side right now you're talking about is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's all very accurate. Organic, inch wide, mile deep, right? You don't need 10,000 views on a video that you put on your personal page.
I think that's a way to get results quicker from your sphere, just engaging engaging. And that's the part, guys, you're going to be tempted to skip that, right? Like you're going to be tempted to forget that part, but that is where that's the magic sauce on our recipe, I think, is going deep with our audience on the personal side of it, because that's one thing I learned from Will. He's phenomenal about every single person that liked that video. If he hasn't talked to him a little bit, he's shooting him a message. Yeah. And most people, let's say you get 5 comments on a video that you post, you're going through and you're maybe, if you're good, you're replying to those 5 people within comments. That's it. If you want to be great, you are also looking at your likes and shooting them a message. You're creating deeper relationships in Messenger, not asking them if they want to buy or sell a house, asking about the kids, asking about the new puppy that they got, some real thing. And that's what Will's talking about caring.
Dude, I even respond to my mom. My mom throws some super intellectual responses on her videos, and I'm always so embarrassed, and I'm just like, thanks, Mom. Did your mom ever help you try on pants when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah, man.
And you're like, well, let me make sure the waist fits. And they're like, and you're like, Mom, like, I feel like when your mom writes a paragraph on one of your videos, it's like, that's what you're doing to me on social media. Cut it out. The waist fits. Dude. It's fine. Stop it. Right. But hey, it's your mom. Right. So like, you know, thanks, Mom. But it is super important. And for me, it was very organic. Like I was gone for a long time in the Marine Corps and some other work that I did for the government stuff. And then being the cop, I worked so many hours. I worked graveyards for a long time. I'm just not around people. And then the people I were around weren't the friendliest. Right. Like when cops go to something, it's not because awards are getting handed out. I'll tell you that much. Right. So I'm like, when I got into, you know, then fitness, we were super busy. I worked every weekend. I'm not bullshitting you for 2 years. We just went nonstop.
So you were working 7 days.
Built the crap out of it.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, a lot of people in the fitness world, when it comes to certain events, it's very egotistical. It's very selfish. You don't necessarily want to engage with those people. When I got into real estate and I had time freed up and I'm just building relationships with people at the gym and having conversations and hearing about their kids and then on social media, just catching back up with people, it started to happen organically for me because I had been not doing that for so long. And then when I was around people, it was like bad people I'm arresting. So now I'm around just good people on social media and I'm meeting them in person or friends I hadn't seen in a long time. I'm like, man, this is awesome. Like I'm around good, just people at their best with kids and family. And I missed a lot of that. So for me, organically, dude, one, I'm already a talker. Mm-hmm. If you haven't noticed, Alex,
a little bit.
I talk a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Super people person. I just enjoy engagement with folks and missing it for a while. Dude, I just started to soak it up and didn't realize until I was getting some traction, like, oh, I don't need this fucking cold call. I don't need this. And then it was true. I kept my mouth shut a little bit longer. I kept doing that. I was doing 5 deals a month, man. Like, when we're talking a couple months in, dude. Yeah. Now, I was on that bad boy having conversations. It wasn't one person a day. It was a lot, man. But they were real. They were genuine. People felt they were real, and they were genuine. And it created. And then when we, you know, we're a year into it, we hit top 1%. Then I started opening my fucking mouth. Like, you know what? I'm not gonna diss any other approach, because I haven't been around long enough to just go shitting on approaches to real estate. And if you're making money, it works. I can't speak to it. But you know what? Man, I'm on to something. This is working. Mm-hmm. And then we created a team. Mm-hmm. We hit top 1%. We started teaching them what him and I started figuring out. And then they were able to learn it. So not only did what we have work and it was sustainable, it could be duplicated to different people. And when it was duplicated, they could also sustain it. And that kicked us into the top 0.5%. Didn't spend a fucking dime. So not against spending dimes, right? We've talked about that. And the stuff that you do, phenomenal. There's good stuff to that. It's just different. But I think no matter what, you still want a personal brand. You still want engagements with people. You still want that turnover. And if you're going to do leads and different stuff, all for it. But why turn down the business that's right in front of you for free? You know what I mean? Like, there's just so much to it that I think people could take away from
Will, look, I wrote this down here. This is so funny.
Will talks a lot.
No, after that. It says, ads should be used as a bonus to organic means of marketing.
100%.
Right? Advertising on Facebook and Instagram or YouTube, whatever you choose, should be used as a bonus to the organic means you're already putting in place for marketing.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah, I believe that. And you made a comment about, you were mentioning DM. So you're talking about Facebook Messenger.
Correct.
I just want to make sure people understand, right? So when you do a DM, a direct message, Facebook Messenger is owned by Facebook. It's another ecosystem. So even though you're liking and commenting someone's post, let's say on your personal page, when you take that conversation to Facebook Messenger, it's a brand new ecosystem. And what you said was spot on. The more people that you engage with organically and you're for real, you're interested in them, and the ping pong effect happens back and forth. Now what Facebook does is it makes different pods. And that's what they want. They want pods of people having relationships.
Real communities
and,
of people.
And socializing.
You know what you could do for a day? Go into your Facebook page. Go into your friends. It's alphabetical. And just start scrolling through your friends. Every single friend on there, if you have no clue who they are and they're not local and they look like they're up to no good, delete them. You don't need them on your page, right? Yeah. That's one more person that could be seeing your stuff, taking up a piece of that algorithm that's not needed. And then every time you come across someone who's like, whether they're out of state or not, but primarily local, or they seem like they're a good person, maybe you don't know them. You don't know them. But they've been friends with you on social media for 2 years. Go look at their page. Yeah. Go like something on their page. Go see what they're up to. Yeah. And just, and if they do something.
Or comment on their wall.
Like maybe they just adopted a dog. Oh, that's awesome. Your friends on Facebook. If you say that on Facebook, it's not weird. If you somehow find their phone number and you call them, that's weird. But if you, but you could literally go into your Facebook right now, start going through your friends list, and just go friend by friend. You got 4,000 friends on there? Good. Give yourself a couple weeks. And every day go, you know what? I'm going to go into 25 different accounts every day until I get through all of my friends. And I'm going to spend 2 minutes on their page every time I'm on a page, and I'm going to see what they're up to. And if it's nothing, don't be fake. Don't be weird. Just go through it. And if they're doing stuff that's cool, like some stuff, say some stuff. Weird how they're going to start popping up that's in your algorithm. Vice versa. You
great
pop up into theirs.
Great strategy.
But when it's like, oh, I got nothing to do. Listen to me, motherfucker. Right? You ever hear that stuff like at work with our team? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, what do I do? I got nothing to do.
There you go.
Yeah.
You sure?
There you go.
Yeah. You're just not thinking through it. But here's the deal. That's not that fun. I'm going to be honest. It sounds extraordinary. It's not. It's not that fun. But
it won't take your whole day either.
Dude, I'll tell you this much. Do you know how many people I found from my gym that I'm already friends with on social media that were at the gym the same time as me that I didn't even realize until I'm literally going through my friends list on Facebook and I see what they're doing. I'm like, oh, that dude's taking a picture like. And then I see him on a damn treadmill. I'm like, oh, hey, what's up, man? I saw you on Facebook. Dude, that dog you adopted, that's awesome, man. Like, how long have you been coming here? 9 years. 9 years? Well, you've been coming at the same time every day? Yeah. Fuck.
Yep.
But, right? Like, you just never know how many people are literally right around your 10-mile radius doing cool stuff if you just pay attention. But, again, with the algorithm, with who you're going to see through your social media, you're not going to see everyone. But if you're getting deliberate, like you deliberately go into every one of your friends' page and you're deliberately looking through it and liking stuff and commenting, you're going to see them more. they're going to see you more. And you'd be surprised what comes from that, you know? And dude, it takes a long time to get through it. And you've always got something you could be working on of value, right? But that's more, like I say, our world, when I talk about not spending a dime and doing that, doing the mile deep, that reminds me of like a manual transmission.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, you've got to manually go in and do it.
We're at about an hour here, but Alex, I want to make sure we hit the rest of your stuff, bro. So
yeah, I mean, I wanted to touch. This is part two from last time we spoke, and for me, it's just the inner game, making sure people understand that when you're playing in Facebook's world or Instagram's world, and you're advertising, you're just buying impressions. That's all Facebook's job is. They did their job. What you do afterward is all dependent on your skill set and your strategy. Mm-hmm. Or just like a professional player going into any sports team, right? The better that person is in developing their skills and having strategy, the better they're going to play the game. So if you guys are going to get into Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and use digital marketing to complement...
Like this.
Yeah, to complement what you two guys have done in the last 2 years to become 0.5% in the nation for Berkshire, which is all organic. That's what I... try to share with everybody. Have a holistic approach.
Yeah. And right. Like this right here. Like I'm looking at my Instagram right now, right? My last post, I go up. Cool. And others like this. So I go into it. Cool. There's 700 likes on this post, right? It's my lady. That's why. Motherfuckers. But I can go in here. Now, when you go to Instagram, some of these accounts are just going to be private. A lot of people have private accounts unless you're following them and they approve it. But a lot of people now just have public accounts. I can go in and I'm like, oh, this person liked my post. What are they posting? Go in there, like some of their stuff. And believe it or not, liking people's stuff on Instagram gets you a follow super quick. It's a different behavior than Facebook.
Yeah.
Literally, same person. It's weird.
Yeah.
I act different on Facebook than I do on Instagram. It's a different platform. I kind of use differently. But I'm not acting different because Mark Zuckerberg tells me they're different and it's used for... No, it's just a different platform. Yep,
it's a different party.
I have to force myself to comment on Instagram, to go reply to someone. It's not as comment friendly. You got to go in there, you got to click the heart, and you're trying
hard to push.
But if you go in there and, like, let's say 14 people have commented, you can't just click their comment and it takes you right to it. You got to kind of scroll down the post to go find it. It's not as, like, comment friendly. Versus Facebook, you click on it, it takes you right to it. It's just Facebook is a lot more easy to be conversational with versus Instagram seems like people are just liking stuff consuming. Or following.
Yeah.
It's a different behavior, but treat it as such. If people are liking a couple of your photos, I can go in here and I can go click on all 700 likes and see what those accounts look like and go like some of their stuff and see what they're doing too, right? Again, we just have to think. Make it too fancy.
It's a different game, and just like every game has rules, you just got to know how to play in those rules. Mm-hmm. Just like Facebook has rules, you just got
to
know how to play.
And I want to make a comment to advertising and leads in general specific to real estate. So if you're a real estate agent, do not expect to be putting out a video and then have people fill out a lead form that says, I'm Bill Smith, this is my phone number, and I want to buy a house. Do not expect that. The way Alex talks about marketing is perfect for real estate agents because the way I look at it, I'm like, I'm not trying to get a person to submit a form and say, I want to buy a house. What I want to do is I want to put some content out there, get some data where people can start raising their hands as, hey, I like Eli and Will. I'm a fan of you guys. I like watching your content. And then I just want to keep putting valuable information out in front of them so that when the time is ready, they know who we are. They already know, like, and trust us. And they're going to shoot us a message.
Right, because you're ready.
Exactly. Then they're going to shoot us a message that says, hey, I've seen your guys' stuff. I appreciate you guys. I'm thinking about buying a house. What are your thoughts?
Top of mind.
That's how the lead process goes. Do not think you can put a video out there and have a lead form set up and people are just going to fill it out. Real estate does not work that way, guys.
And something that we're doing with Alex, you know, and I think it's good for everybody to know. If you do have more questions, right, we want to let them know where they can find you on this podcast. But more importantly is if you're going to go to a guy like Alex or go to Alex and you want them to create something for you, a call to action, you want to get emails and this, you have to remember you got to bring value. Do you have an ebook? Do you have an event where people can come and get their appraisal for free or something like we're doing our VA event?
Yep.
Free appraisal plus a 1-year home warranty plus something else we're paying for. That's real money that's getting paid for. If you show up to that VA event, you're getting your appraisal paid for. You're getting your home warranty and like $500 or something like a closing. Like, you're getting hooked up.
Yep.
It's also because we appreciate you coming and getting educated. We know we're going to have we're going to crush it with you because you're prepared. So whether it's now or a year from now or 2 years from now, if you've been on that roster and you sign up and you showed up, you're going to get that stuff paid for. But understand when Alex is advertising that stuff, We have something of value. He's not just asking people for their name and number and email because, no, like there's value. You're going to come to this thing, get a ton of knowledge, get some shit for free. We're going to raffle off some cool stuff as well on top of everything else. We're creating this call to action with value that makes people go, yeah, you got my email. This is awesome.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
People are smart. Social media has been around for a while. People know all the tricks. They're not putting stuff in there. But if you have value, people have no problem submitting their info if they believe in what you're doing and they think that there's a value for them. They'll do it. Zillow, great app, right? And let's not even dive down that rabbit hole today as far as whether you should be using it, not using it. Doesn't matter. The point is they'll put all sorts of shit in a Zillow because they want information on a home or something else. But that app provides people value, which means they have no problem giving you their information. Same thing if you're going to have a call to action. But if you're using people like Alex or you're using Alex and you want likes or you just you want a bunch of people's emails and, oh, yeah, buy a home. So, oh, I need their emails. Like, understand. Nothing is going to get filled out if there's not something that they're going to gain from that.
Let me chime in on that.
So the purpose of an ad, everybody, just so you understand, is just to get a click. That's the only purpose of the ad. You're not trying to get somebody's information. You're not trying to generate a lead from an ad. Definitely not from a view on a video. Once you get a click, then it's the value you give either on the landing page or the video that will determine the next step. And that could be, give me your information, and in return, I'll give you this e-guide. Right? But you never, ever want to expect to get a lead from an ad. Mm-hmm. The purpose of an ad is just to get a click. It's called CPC, cost per click. If your cost per click is a dollar or less, you're good. And then the next stage is the landing page or the video or the workshop or the webinar, whatever it is you want to do, and how valuable that information is going to determine if someone's going to give you their information to proceed. Simple as that, guys. Mm-hmm.
You want to know a new behavior too?
What's that?
I deliberately, like I'll be on social media. This might not be a thing. Maybe it's just me. If I'm on social media and I see something I like, a chamois for a car that looks impressive, but let's say I'm too busy to kind of like go into shop now or put in my credit card information, like, that was dope, whatever, I'll love it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll like it or I'll love it or I'll tag Eli in it because I know, hey.
You're going to see it again.
I bet within a week it comes back around. Dude, I got that with Air Force Ones, like with Nikes in the Nike app. I got that with some ShamWow thing for my car. Some other weird shit.
You engaged in the post.
It's like there's hitting the snooze button on a post.
There's literally five things a week that reoccur.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I promise you, within about a month,
you'll buy it someday.
It'll pop up. Yeah. I'm on my couch hanging out. Oh, I deserve that, right? Yeah. Dude, and I'll buy it. But like, I'm deliberately trying to keep it around. And I think that behavior is the same with everyone else. If they think something's of value, they'll tag a friend, right? Or they'll give you that email because they're like, hey, man, I believe in that product. I got no problem if you contacting me if I believe in what you're doing, right? Like, it's transparency.
Yeah, that's true. They're just retargeting you. Yeah. Anytime you engage, you can retarget based on engagement.
I wonder if you're selling me something and I don't even know it.
No, not yet.
Is Nike your contract?
No, I'm with Adidas.
Shit.
I'm an Adidas guy, too.
I'm an Adidas guy. I'm Greek.
Yep.
And now that we said
it's
Adidas.
It's a European thing.
And now that we spoke that word into social media, it's going to pop up in my fucking newsfeed.
It is.
Weird. With that being said.
Another thing I want to add on is anybody that has questions, can they send us questions ahead of time?
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, so maybe you could let them know how to do that because I love to hear questions of people, especially in my space. So that way we could answer them live on the show.
Well, and you're going to share this on your page, I'm sure. So make sure in your write-up to put, hey, submit your questions. And that is one thing, guys. I'm glad you brought that up. We're doing this show every week. We are talking specific to realtors and lenders and sales every other week.
Every other week.
So shoot us your messages in between. We're happy to take, like, we'll always have a topic we're touching on, but then it's not a bad idea to have one or two like listener questions that we hit, you know, specifically each one.
I would love to have as many questions as possible.
We can also market that mail. You know, I can also put something up on our news feed that just ask realtors questions.
I like that.
100%.
Well, that's it, guys.
That's it.
Happy Monday, boys.
Day $1.00, Real Talk, episode 3. We'll be back Friday with our day $1.00.
I like how you say that with a question mark.
We just need to stop saying any days ever. No happy Friday, no happy Monday.
No, dude, we got to stick.
You guys have been consistent.
We're doing our best to be
consistent. People never listen to it on the day.
We need to be twice a week.
Yeah.
So if it's not a Friday, if it's a Thursday, cool. But we got to be twice. I like bringing value. There's a couple podcasts I listen to. Sean Tosh, right? Like if he uploads his late, I'm like.
You're like, where is it?
Where you at, bitch? And I'm like, wait, did he hear me call him a bitch?
Does he go weekly? I didn't mean that. Does he go weekly?
Yeah, once a week. But sometimes, man, that dude is, he's super busy. He's so kind. A lot of people are tapping him for his time. I can only imagine. It's hard. But even that, I'm still like, oh, that's right. Now he'll have them up by noon instead of 7 a.m. So I can't listen to you on my way to the gym Wednesday morning, jerk. Right? Because apparently, like, I matter more than he does. But not true, right? But man, I think there's value there. We get some good feedback. I do like keeping our podcast busy for the algorithm and the consistency that we're on there. That does matter to iTunes and Spotify and all that good stuff. So twice a week for sure. If it's not Friday, if it's Thursday, all good. Yeah. But man, I like keeping it twice a week.
Yeah, but we'll be back later this week. That's it, guys.
That's it.
Cool.
Happy Monday, everybody.
We'll see you guys. Right. Thank you.
See ya.
Out.